Second Corinthians, 10th chapter, 3rd verse. There are several translations. This was the translation chosen. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Amen.
Today's message, being a holy terror to the kingdom of darkness, is important because we live in a day when people tend to judge themselves by the appearance of their bodies. If they are skinny, they feel good about themselves. But if they gain just a little bit of weight, they are tempted to think that they're ugly or disgusting. And this is because of modern movies. It's due to advertisement. People are continually inundated with thousands of subliminal messages that say, if you're not skinny and youthful looking, you just don't rate. Well, amazingly, even believers get caught up in judging themselves by outward appearance. Although it's true that we should do what we can to stay in good shape physically, there are millions of people who are in great physical shape, but they couldn't win a spiritual battle if their lives depended upon it. You see, physical muscles make you look great in the natural, but mere flesh and blood has no effect on Satan or the spiritual realm. Spiritual battles are not to be fought or won with a carnal spirit because our physical appearance and knowledge is no match for spiritual foes. The disadvantage that the carnal spirit or flesh is the reason God has supplied spiritual weapons for the believer.
Now, Apostle Paul knew this. He knew he was not a tall man. He was not the size of Peter. Peter was a big fisherman. He was like a rock. You saw him and you were impressed by his stature. Apostle Paul was not. In fact, he learned very quickly that it was futility on his part to even try to rely upon his physical stature to impress anyone. He had to purposely turn his attention to the spiritual realm, to the Holy Spirit, for him to have an effect, for him to receive the supernatural assistance that he would not have apart from God. And so it was upon the Holy Spirit that Apostle Paul relied. And it was upon those supernatural tools that God gives us, especially through the art and the joy of prayer, when we can commune with God one-on-one, that Satan and the darkness, evil, cannot touch, cannot destroy. He knew that in his carnal being, which included his mind, and he was a smart man, wasn't he? He could argue the Jewish law with anyone. He knew that it didn't rely on his talents. He was a very motivational speaker. He got worked his way up in the Jewish faith, but he knew he could not rely on that, nor on his flesh, as we mentioned. But he knew that was only through the assistance of the Holy Spirit that he had any influence, any presence, and any power whatsoever. Acts chapter 19. I don't know if you've ever spent time with this, and if you have opportunity to write this down. Acts chapter 19 has a point that sometimes Church of the Brethren, we folks who are very peace-minded, don't focus on a great deal. It says here that in the early church, that's what the book of Acts is all about, that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that when, and listen to this, when the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some, here we go, itinerant Jewish exorcists tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjourn you by Jesus in whom Paul proclaims." In fact, these exorcists were the seven sons of a Jewish high priest called Sceva. And these were the seven high priests who were attempting to cast out Satan's in the name of Jesus and Paul. But interestingly enough, the evil spirit replied to them, spoke back to these seven men, and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you?" Isn't it interesting that by this time, when the spiritual life was so strong in Paul that people were being healed simply by a piece of clothing that he had touched, his life was so blessed that his body was next to nothing. Paul had been mercilessly beaten. He had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. There was like next to nothing left of his personal body. And yet he was a force to be reckoned with in the spiritual world. And perhaps Paul knew this. Paul understood this. And Paul knew of his body limitations. So he couldn't lean on his carnal flesh, and he had to learn how to function in the realm of the spirit. These spirits knew Jesus. These spirits knew Apostle Paul. Isn't that amazing? That one man's life would be aligned with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Even the evil spirit said, "We know Jesus. We know Apostle Paul." In essence, either one of them can cast us out in a heartbeat. But we don't know you. We don't know who you are. And these were the seven sons of the high priest.
So how can we become holy terrors to the kingdom of darkness? The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down Satan's strongholds." In this powerful verse, the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the subject of spiritual warfare. In fact, this is one of the foundational verses on this subject, so it is vital to understand what Paul is talking about. Today, I want you to pay special attention to the words weapons, warfare, and carnal. Words that we brethren use so often, being that we have a peace stance. But first, Paul tells us about the weapons. These spiritual armaments have been provided by God and are at our disposal. They are both offensive and defensive weapons, and they can be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. That is a very important passage, Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18, where Paul lists them one by one and explains what each piece represents. It is crucial that you put on the whole armor of God. And that's just the first step. Yes, you may live in a fleshy, carnal body that has all kinds of limitations. The Apostle Paul found that out. But you can go forth with spiritual weapons to do warfare in the Spirit. So reach out and take the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. When you're clothed in the whole armor of God, you can win the victory over the kingdom of darkness every time.
And that's something we relate to, I think, now more and more, because this pandemic is something we can't see. We only see the effects of. And that is true with evil. That is true with the works of darkness. That's what we see with addictions. I mean, there's much that we battle that is unseen. And we need to be aware of it. And the pandemic is helping bring that forth and bring that to light. When Paul uses the word warfare, he's using a Greek word which is stratos. Stratos, S-T-R-A-T-O-S, stratos. This Greek word, stratos, means strategy. In essence, warfare is not something that happens accidentally. It is purposeful and it is strategically planned. In essence, Apostle Paul tells us through Scripture and through his letters to the early church that still speak to us today that evil strategically plans our demise. Evil has a plan of attack, and it's not to be easily seen. But stratus doesn't mean just the negative. It also means that if we listen to the Holy Spirit also provides stratus, warfare, plans that we can use. That the Holy Spirit has strategy that is superior to any darkness, to any evil, to any pestilence that may pursue us. That the Holy Spirit always holds a key to every victory, and that he will provide us with divinely inspired strategies if we keep our hearts and our souls and our minds open to these. I love that the Holy Spirit gives us that. And again, we have heard through you how God has led you in unexpected ways, how he's brought unexpected things to you at unexpected times, and how beautifully it all interweaves together. God does not leave us defenseless. God would never do that. He provides us with spiritual tools, with spiritual warfare, to attack darkness, to attack pestilence. So until we really rely on God, we have very little in our arsenal, in our tools, to combat what we're facing today. But when we rely on God and we rely on the Holy Spirit, he gives us strategies. He gives us that stratus that Apostle Paul was talking about.
The Old Testament is filled with examples of divinely inspired strategies. Consider the story of Joshua and the children of Israel as they stood before the walls of Jericho. And we find that in the Bible, Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 27. What strategy did the Lord give to them? Well, it's an interesting strategy, if you remember it. All of Israel was to walk around the walls of Jericho. They would walk around once for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they would walk around seven times. And then after the seventh time, they were to blow the trumpets made of ram's horns. Do they have spears? Do they have clubs? No. They had the trumpets, the ram horn trumpets. And once it was blown, then the walls, as we sung as kids, came a-tumbling down. Now, none of this sounded real reasonable. Can you imagine being Joshua, and God is speaking to you and saying, Joshua, this is how we're going to handle this. And you hear about the walking around, you're thinking, okay, we're going to walk around those walls. Then what are we going to do? Well, then you're going to blow those trumpets. All right. Then what are we going to do? You're going to watch those walls come tumbling down. These people are going to run. Oh, okay. None of this sounded reasonable to the carnal mind, but the effects of that God-given strategy are still talked in sermons today, this sermon being one of those. God's strategy released so much power that completely crushed the foe. So don't be surprised if God gives you a strategy that doesn't necessarily make sense to you when you first hear it. Remember, God operates on a higher level than what we do. And he knows what you don't know. Therefore, he may tell you to do something that seems maybe a little out of the box, but you can be sure that Spirit-inspired strategies will always work. If you want to receive the strategy needed to assure your victory, you must turn your attention to the realm of the Spirit. Not the realm of the carnal, which means using just your own ideas. For it is from the spiritual realm that you will hear the voice from God. You must spend time praying in the Spirit and reading the Word. By yourself, you will never conceive a plan that will deliver you, only through God. Just as spiritual weapons come from God, so do spiritual strategies. So use your head as much as you can and think through every step, but as you seek God, stay open to Him graciously give you supernatural strategy for destroying the work of Satan. And don't be surprised if God tells you to do something that's out of the box. Since the beginning of time, God has been giving effective strategies, and they will work if only we will use them. Amen.